Over this Christmas time, we've been looking at things that God has given to us because of the first Christmas, because of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want us to come back to that theme this morning. And I want us in particular to be thinking of the fact that because the Lord Jesus Christ became man and lived among us, God is able and willing to give us forgiveness. Not something that we earn, not something to which we have some sort of right, but something that is given to us by God. We've gathered this morning, and perhaps I've got a privilege of being able to wish you all a happy Christmas and to thank you for all the love that has been shown to us as a family. And we are gathered here this morning, and we are gathered that we might enjoy Christmas and we might celebrate what God has given to us. But for some folk, we realise that Christmas is going to be tinged with sadness. We've already prayed for our sister Mary Webb, as John was called to be with the Lord last Sunday morning. And I'm sure there are others of you who are knowing the trials and the difficulties of health, and maybe, and I know for a fact, there are others who know the uncertainty of employment and things at this time. So although we gather and we wish one another a happy Christmas, there are elements that underlie and disturb that happiness. For some folk, there are also the effects of mistakes. Mistakes in our own lives, mistakes in other people's lives that perhaps affect us. And these can cause us huge issues. But how does Christmas help us in this situation? Well, we have been thinking, we haven't been expounding it, but I've been reminding people of what happened when the Lord Jesus Christ came to earth. Because Matthew tells us the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and the shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. Light. There'd been darkness. There'd been confusion. There'd been uncertainty. But then there was light. There was the light of the glory of God, the night that the shepherds heard the announcement. There was the light of the star. But last Sunday we were looking at the fact that God gives the light of understanding. And today I want us to develop our understanding. I've got two main points that I want to bring out from this message this morning, and they both relate to our God. The first thing is, Christmas teaches us that God is still in control. God is still in control. But God's control does not guarantee that everything will go exactly as we want it to. And let's go back to that first Christmas. Maybe start with our own Christmas. What has Christmas been like for you? I'm sure there are ladies in this congregation this morning, and they say, oh, it's terrific just to have an hour to sit here and not to worry about the turkey and the stuffing and the presents. I can see a number of the ladies smiling. And it's been frenetic, hasn't it? Getting the presents bought, getting all the preparations made. Well, let's go back to that first Christmas. Because we see our nativity scenes with the halos and everything looking so peaceful. But we're told that Mary and Joseph were betrothed to each other. So there were two families in this village of Nazareth, and they were making preparations for a wedding. Not easy, is it, when you're preparing for a wedding? And a number of families this year have known that pressure. And then for this family, once they'd made the initial preparations and the betrothal had been arranged, there was that devastating news that Mary was pregnant. And no matter what was behind it, the village gossips would have been there. Have you heard about her? Oh, terrible, isn't it? But eventually, people came to understand that it was not human action, but God was involved. So they'd had the betrothal. They were looking forward to the wedding. It hadn't come together yet. They'd got over the gossip in the village, and they were on their way to a glorious wedding day. And then suddenly, hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The town criers were sent out. There's going to be a census. Oh, that's all right. We'll just make sure that we're home on that night and we'll fill in the form like we do. No. This census was not going to be taken in the place that you were living, but you had to go back to your ancestral home. Oh, my word. I look around you this morning. There would be a few people who would have to make a long journey, wouldn't they, Mac? And the chaos and the disruption. Poor girl, heavily pregnant, and having to make a 70-mile journey. Not in a comfortable, air-conditioned car, but walking on the back of a mule, maybe on some rickety cart. It seemed as though the whole world had gone mad. But God was still in control. God knew what he was about. And friends, I want to try to use this message to remind you that being in the center of God's will, as some people describe it, does not mean that everything will go exactly as we want it to go. It will not happen as we have planned, and we've got to be ready for that. But God is still in control. They got there, they got to Bethlehem, and they thought, okay, a few days rest, we'll get this census done, then we'll get back home, and we'll have the baby in the room that we have prepared in the house. But no, it was not going to be. They had come to the village where there were loads and loads of their relatives living, because that is what God had said. They were to go back to their origins. But when they got there, every house was filled. It seemed chaotic. And let's be honest, Mary and Joseph must have felt terribly rejected. Here I am, pregnant, and not even my close relatives are prepared to help me. No one made room. Friends, what about you? Christmas chaotic for you? Things not working out as you want it? Let me remind you, God is still in control. The ice cap may be melting, but God is not in meltdown. He is still in control. So I've said that being in the center of God's will doesn't mean that everything will work out exactly as we want it to work out. But there is another side to God's will. God's will be done. God's will guarantees success. And it was for that reason that I asked Dan to read this morning from Micah chapter 5, and also Ian to read from Psalm 51. years before this, hundreds of years before this, when God had settled his people in the promised land, he had parceled out the land. Each tribe had its own area, and it was guaranteed to them for history. If for some reason they became poor and they had to sell the land, at the end of every 50 years, the land would be restored to them and they could carry on living as God had planned. But history didn't work out like that. People ended up living in other areas. People did not honour God's arrangements for the distribution of land. And as a result, Joseph and Mary, who were from the tribe of Judah, were in fact in the north of the country rather than in the south of the country. Dan read to us that wonderful promise from Micah, given hundreds of years before, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Shepherd of Israel, would be born in Bethlehem. The angels had appeared in Nazareth. How on earth are they going to get to Bethlehem? God had it all under control. Mark read to us from Luke 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. It wasn't exactly as perhaps the prophets understood it, but God made sure that the family that he wanted to bear his son were in the place where he wanted them to be. He took control of the government of his day, and as a result, he took his people to where he wanted them. God is still in control this Christmas time. God was in control that first Christmas time, and his purposes were worked out. But my second main heading this morning is that God still forgives. God's still in control. God still forgives. You say to me, Bernard, how do you get that from the readings that we had this morning? Well, in Luke 2 and verse 4, we are told, and Joseph went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David. What does that say about forgiveness? The city of David, the house and lineage of David. God, in the Christmas story, reminds us twice of David. Ian read to us this morning from Psalm 51, a psalm that David wrote after he had made horrible mistakes in his life. A psalm that he wrote after he was guilty of the most horrible sins. Those of us who know our Bibles will know that David, as a young man, was a man full of faith. So full of faith that he was able to go out and fight and to kill a man much stronger and much bigger than himself. And yet, other people were afraid of him. We know that David was patient. As I was talking to the children this morning, David waited. He had been anointed king, but Saul was still there. He could have demanded his rights. He could have demanded that God put him on the throne now. But no, he waited. David stands in the Old Testament as a great example of a man of faith and of patience. But we know that David made horrible mistakes. I'm not going to go into details. Those of you who know your Bibles will know what happened. He damaged his own marriage. He damaged the marriage of somebody else. And as a result, trying to cover up his sin, he was responsible for the death of another man. Let's be honest, friends. If we knew somebody like that, who had committed such horrible sins, what would we say to them? Sorry, you've let us down. Sorry, we cannot respect you because of the horrible things that you have done. We don't want anything more to do with you. But here, 1,000 years later, God is saying, go to the city of David, because you are of the house and the lineage of David. And what was God saying? He was saying that even though David was guilty of such horrible sin, David had confessed that sin. David had repented of that sin. And David was forgiven that sin. The first Christmas reminds us that God is willing to forgive the worst of sinners. God still forgives. Jesus came into the world, as David was telling us at the family Christmas party last Saturday, when Joseph was told to name the baby that Mary was to carry. He was told, you will call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Friends, that is the message of Christmas. God says, I have forgiven your ancestors, Joseph, and I am willing to remember that God used those people. There is forgiveness. And when Jesus was born, the message that came across was, the Lord is willing to save. Jesus came because he was going to save his people from their sin, from their sins. God didn't remove David's name from the record of history. Rather, he put David there in a prominent position because Jesus is known as the son of David, the one that God was willing to forgive. In effect, that night when Mary and Joseph went to Bethlehem, to the city of David, God was saying, this man was sorry for his sin, and therefore I have forgiven his sin. And the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is a great message that God is ready to forgive all who call upon him, because Jesus came to save. Jesus came to die. And he did. He paid the price of the sin of all who call upon him. But the message of David says, I'm not only willing to forgive them, and they can sit there in a corner, but he says, I'm willing to forgive them, and I am willing to use them. Friends, the great message of Christmas to those of you who are troubled by your own sin is that God is willing to forgive all who call on him. The great message of Christmas for all of us who look at others, who have let us down, and who have failed us, is God was willing to forgive. We must be willing to forgive those who confess their sin and turn in trust to God. I know this Christmas our world seems chaotic, but God is still in control. People may be turning their backs on the Bible, but they can never stop God keeping His word. You may have made a right mess of your life, but God is able to forgive and to use all who call upon Him. Let us thank God that that first Christmas, Joseph was told, you will call His name Jesus because He will, He has, and He will continue to forgive us our sins. Have a happy Christmas, rejoicing in the forgiveness of God. Let's conclude our worship this morning with our